day 70 of war in Ukraine. People evacuated from the besieged city of Mariupol have made their way to the relative safety of the town of Zaporizhia, 200 kilometres away. Among them were 69 people who had sheltered in bunkers beneath a massive steelworks for months. Before this evacuation, repeated attempts to negotiate their safe release had ended in failure. Ukrainian fighters say there are hundreds more people still trapped there. Chris Hanger is spokesperson for the International Committee of the Red Cross, who, along with the UN, organised the evacuation. And he joins us now from Ukraine. Chris Hanger, good morning. Thank you very much for taking our call today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
How did the Red Cross get people out of Mariupol?
It was an extremely difficult and highly complex operation that spanned over 5 days. Our teams left from Zaporizhia to Mariupol on Friday, and they just arrived yesterday. It's a complex operation that was in the process, something that changed on the ground by the minute. We had to adjust. We needed to make sure that people are getting to safety. We've got people out of the Azovstal plant. At the one hand, obviously, we're happy that these people are now in safety. But at the same time, obviously, we know that more needs to be done, that more people are still trapped. And we're still tirelessly working to get people out wherever they are trapped.
Tell us about the people who got out and how they survived since March.
Yeah, and these people that we met, they were in a deep state of shock. Some of them, of course, they were relieved to be out of there. But the moment they seen the sky for the first time in weeks, they seen just their city that is completely destroyed right now. So obviously, some of them were just crying. Some of them were completely silent. There were some people that asked for a priest. So obviously, this was a scene. These people have deep trauma, and there were children amongst them, as young as 6 months old. And these people now need obviously attention, medical attention, but at the same time also, you know, mental health support, because I think we cannot really imagine what these people have been through.
What can you tell us about the conditions of where they were living, where they were sheltering over the recent weeks?
Yeah. So, I mean, of course, they were sheltering underground. And if you think about how these people have survived extreme fighting over the last weeks without regular access to water, without regular access to food, some of them were injured. It must have been worse than hell what these people have been through. And now, of course, it's a first sign and glimmer of hope that these people have made it out of Azovstal, and some people joined us along the route for this safe passage back to Zaporizhia. But at the same time, there's so many more people that need help, so many more people that are trapped. And that's our job. That's the role of the International Committee of the Red Cross, to help facilitate these safe passages and get people out.
Do you know how many people are left in there?
At the moment, we don't have numbers, because obviously it's a very difficult situation. It's an ongoing conflict, so it's difficult to get precise numbers. It's difficult to communicate, obviously, also with the people on the ground. But we're trying. But at the same time, we're assuming that there are still many people who are trapped, but not only there, and in other places in Ukraine that are under heavy fighting as well.
You said it was a very difficult negotiation process, which went over many weeks to try and get people out. Who do you have to talk to?
So our role in this type of conflict is very clear. We are a neutral intermediary in times of conflict as the International Committee of the Red Cross. And what we do is we talk to all sides, all parties to the conflict. And if you think about a safe passage operation or a so-called humanitarian corridor, we see that really as a desperate measure in desperate times, because not only people are protected when they are in these safe passages, but they're also protected under the laws of war, the laws of international humanitarian law, when there is a conflict. So for us, it's really about the logistical aspects of these type of safe passages, you know, like the precise route, the logistical aspects, like how many people can leave when there is a ceasefire. So it's really around these type of things where we can help, and where we try to help as a neutral intermediary to build trust with the parties to this conflict, and to help them to obviously help in the implementation and the facilitation of the safe passage.
Do those negotiations involve talking to the Russians and making sure that they'll stop shelling and fighting while you try to get people out?
So what our working modus of operandi is obviously, and that doesn't apply only to Ukraine, is that as the International Committee of the Red Cross, we talk to all parties to the conflict. So that means we talk to all parties that are involved, and that obviously allows us to reach people in places where no one else has access. And that includes, for example, yesterday's successful operation to bring people out of the Azovstal plant.
Are you still talking to Russian forces to try and get more people out?
Of course, we have an ongoing dialogue with the parties, and what we're trying continuously, 24/7, our teams are trying to obviously create more safe passages for the people who are still trapped and who need desperate help.
So will you try again?
We are in the process of obviously continuing our dialogue, and we will try to get as many people out as possible, and that's an ongoing operation. So in the end, as long as people are suffering in conflict, are suffering in Ukraine, we will try to get them out to safety.
Chris Hanger, spokesperson for the International Committee of the Red Cross. Thank you very much for joining us from Ukraine this morning.